Our first reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, there is great gain in godliness with contentment. We've brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. O Lord, have mercy on us.
And peace be to you.
From God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It seems like Christmas comes earlier every year. Of course, that's not the date of Christmas. That's the 25th. That's set, right? It's not Advent either. That's 4 weeks before Christmas. Those dates are fixed. What I'm talking about is really the buildup to the Christmas season. That has been starting earlier and earlier every year. Stores start their Christmas sales, not Black Friday anymore, all November. All of November. Christmas decorations, I've seen some that have been up in stores already right after Halloween. And of course, the radio stations have been playing Christmas music, and the person next to you in your cubicle maybe has been blasting those for quite some time now. I suppose we start the Christmas season earlier and earlier because there's a long way to go. There's a lot to do before Christmas. There's lots of presents to buy. There's Christmas cards that need to be mailed. There's cookies that need to be baked. There's parties that need to be planned and attended. So it's good to have such plans and to set such goals. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But for this Advent worship and for our midweek services, we're going to have a bigger goal, a bigger plan for the coming weeks. This Advent, we're going to focus on how we, human beings, pursue peace and how we define the peace that we are pursuing. Now, Christmas peace, the peace of Christmas, can be thought of as a five-pointed star. That's why on the back of your bulletin there's a star. So I'll address that here in a second. But each point on the star throughout our series is going to be one direction or one pursuit, one dimension of peace that we strive for as human beings. Hopefully, like I said, that's going to make more sense as I continue on the sermon, but as we go through our series through Advent. But the thing is, if left to ourselves, our pursuit for peace that we all desire would never end. So the good news is that God meets us, he stops that endless pursuit, and he gives us a new and proper understanding of his gift of peace. And that peace always comes through Christ and the birth of Christ, the Word of God made flesh, who stepped into our world to suffer and die and rise again to fulfill our strongest desires for peace. So we start by drawing or looking at the star that's provided for you, the five-pointed star. And so we make a point on the top, that first point going straight up. And that point for tonight is going to represent a common way that people seek peace in this world. That, of course, is possessions, our stuff. Possessions, the more the better, right? If I only had a bigger house, if I had a newer phone, if I had a nicer car, then maybe, just maybe, finally, I could have peace. Doesn't work that way. But for a lot of folks, that is the most obvious pursuit during the Christmas season. If I just get what I want for Christmas, everything will be okay. and I'll be at peace. So picture this as the top of the star with the lines that go out into the uppermost point. That represents how we keep chasing. And right now there is a point where they meet. But it represents what we keep chasing and chasing, more and more stuff. When in reality, when will that line ever stop? It continues, it keeps going. And how far up and out does it need to go before we finally have peace in this world? Well, really, we already have learned this lesson. Even as children, we've learned this lesson. Yesterday's toys break, and they're piled up in the corner of the room, ready to be thrown out. And tomorrow's toys aren't going to last any longer, trust me, because I know that they're cheaper than what you had when you were a child. But we keep going, and before we can continue in that pursuit, God comes to us, he stops us, and he says, enough. Enough. Stop. To counter our reckless pursuit for peace, which it's endless, we'll never get, trying to accumulate more and more stuff, God comes to us with words of contentment from the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. You see, God is a loving and attentive Father. He pays attention. He's watching, right? He sees us scurrying around, gathering up more and more stuff, thinking that's what we need as we scurry around, building up speed as we rush headlong, really into a cliff. But he sees, as our Lord and our Savior, he sees the danger that is before us. He sees the road ahead, and he knows that there is danger. So he says, enough, stop, danger ahead. He's like the father watching his children slide down a slippery hill, right, or snowy hill. He sees their smiles, they're rejoicing, they're having a great time as they sled down the hill. But the father sees at the bottom of the hill there is a pond that isn't quite frozen over yet. So if they continue on down through the hill, they're going to go right into the pond. We don't want that. So as any father would, he plays goalie. And he catches them. And he puts them to safety every time they come by, right? And the message of that father that he has for his sons and daughters is the same that our Heavenly Father has for us. I know you think, you think that I'm stopping you from having fun. I know you think that you want to keep going, but you don't realize the danger that lies ahead. So stop. Let's stop you right here. Enough. So our Heavenly Father does this. He stops us out of love for us and his knowledge of the dangers that lie before us. And the words of Paul fit perfectly from 1 Timothy 6. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. You see, our Father catches us, he stops us before we dive headfirst into ruin, into destruction, into despair. But more than that, more than just catching us and stopping us, our Heavenly Father also provides for us. He gives us what we need. He's already given you food and clothing, right? And he's already given you far more than that. If you look at your house and all the things that fill your home and fill your garage, he has provided abundantly for you. He could say, you know, you've got what you need, just be content with that. And he does. But even more than that, he gives us far more. He gives us his very son, Jesus. And he leads us then by the light of the star to that babe born in Bethlehem. So imagine then the pursuit of the wise men as they complete their journey, as they go on their pursuit. They saw this star shining at a great distance, and by God's gift, by God's grace, they understood what this star meant. And the Messiah now is going to be born. The one promised of the Old Testament now, it has been fulfilled, and the king is born. They discovered then a true treasure sent from heaven, displayed in the heavens with the star and pointing them to this heavenly treasure. So imagine their excitement each night as they waited for that star to appear. The one star appeared over and over again, guiding them on their journey as they pursued that star. They carried their treasures with them, for they were not bringing treasures. They weren't trying to fill up their own sack with gold or treasures. They were bringing treasures. They knew that their treasure was far greater than any of that. They knew that the treasure is the newborn child that they were going to worship. So that star, that's the star that guides us every Advent season. The star still shines, and it still points us to Jesus. It still is bright, and it points us to look for the heavenly treasure, the very Son of God who came to save us. Our treasure is fixed in the message of that Christmas star. We don't see the star, but we see the message that the star is pointing to. Our peace comes from the certainty that that star has pointed us to the one who God has sent to give us a lasting peace, an eternal treasure. So follow the joyful path of the Magi, as who saw the star, and they were more than content with what they were given, knowing that the King now had been born. The peace of God comes to us. It comes and it meets us, and Christ says to us, "Follow me," the one pointed to in the star. Yet the Magi followed a silent star. It was up in the sky. We can hear the very words of our Savior himself. We have even greater blessings. They only saw the star as they traveled, as they journeyed. We have Jesus, and we have his word each and every day. Joyfully, we join all who have heard this invitation to follow me, and to follow that star, and to go to where that star has pointed, to the very Son of God. The Star of Peace begins our journey with the promise that more than simply adding to our list of presents, list under the Christmas tree, searching for only the latest, the greatest, the biggest presents is an endless pursuit, an endless journey. It will not bring peace. So God comes, he stops us as a wise, loving father, and he snatches us up, he picks us up, and he says, "Enough, enough, be at peace. Look up, see the star pointing you to everlasting peace, the very incarnate Son of God who came to die in your stead. That is your peace." So the Messiah's star is already in our skies, and the gift of the birth of Jesus Christ is more than enough. It is more than enough to fill your Advent season, your Christmas season, and eternally beyond with the peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.